and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. One thing radio always did very well is use your imagination for special effects. We have an episode of Lights Out and an episode of Suspense this week. We also have a short piece from the great Arch Obler called Chicken Heart to round out the hour. First, we have the story of a man who is fascinated with fire. Enjoy Lights Out, The Flame, first broadcast March 23, 1943, on CBS.
Lights out, everybody.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
You, out there, listen to me. I'm dead. No, don't twist your face in that foolish smirk. I tell you, I'm dead. You say the dead don't talk. Don't be a fool. They're all around you, but you won't listen to them. If you hear me now, listen. You a match? Yes, a match. Take it out. Strike it. Look at the flame. Beautiful flame, isn't it? Beautiful flame. Throw it away. Throw it away. I say horrible flame. It cost me my life. Please listen to me, you out there. I want to tell you just what happened. My name was Arnie Douglas, and I was a very happy man. A very happy man. Arnie?
Yes, Sam?
You know what I've been thinking about, sitting here in front of the fire?
No, Samuel, my friend. I haven't the slightest idea what you were thinking about, blonde or redhead.
No, Ronnie, I'm serious. I was thinking that you ought to be just about the happiest man in the world.
And what made you come to that brilliant deduction?
Well, if happiness is based on satisfactions, you have the satisfaction of knowing you have a fine career, all the money you can use. Now, Barbara.
Barbara.
Yeah. You know, in spite of the fact that she's my sister, I think she's the loveliest girl in town.
In the world, Sam. In the world.
Listen to the fire. It agrees with you.
Or disagrees.
Say, talking of fire, remind me.
What?
When are you going to grow up?
Uh-oh, I think I know what's coming.
I should think you would. I don't mind you risking your own neck, but think of Barbara. You look pretty funny coming to your own wedding dressed in a plaster cast.
Yeah, what does Emily Post say about that? White tie with plaster cast or black tie?
Now, let's get serious, Arnie. Chasing fire engines is a kid's trick.
Well, fires have always fascinated me, Sam, always.
So what? Fire fascinates most of us. But that doesn't mean we have to jeopardize our lives chasing them all the time.
Yes, I suppose it does look foolish, fire chasing, but look here, Sam. Don't flames get you?
What do you mean?
Look in the fireplace. Look at those flames curling around the log.
Well?
Orange and red, like small living things reaching out for life.
Ah.
Now look, Sam, that new flame that sprung up right there in the center of the log. Higher, higher. It sings with the joy of living. It's alive, Sam. It's alive.
Arnie, stop it.
What's the matter, Sam? Did I scare you?
Oh, you were talking like a fool.
Was I? When the world's full of fools. Other men have said that same thing that I said.
What are you raving about now?
I said the flame's alive. Others have said that. Whole generations of men. They worship the flame as a living thing, a godlike thing. Can you say that we're any wiser than they?
Arnie Douglas, are you out of your mind?
I'm talking facts. That flame there. How can you or I or anyone else say that it isn't alive? How do we know it isn't alive?
Well, because it's a flame.
A flame. Do you know the encyclopedia definition of life? It says life is a living thing moving about. It says it not only moves by itself, but it feeds by itself on other matter.
So what?
There, that flame. Isn't it moving about by itself? Isn't it feeding on that log?
Yes, but of course...
Well, then I've proved my point. That flame there fills every requirement of a living thing. Listen, when a man chokes to death, why does he die?
Because his air supply is cut off.
Exactly. That's just how you kill a flame, by stopping its air supply. Sam, I tell you, I've sat here for hours watching these flames in that fireplace. The more I think about it, the more I'm positive that a flame is a living, breathing entity.
Yeah. The more I sit here, the more I realize that you're talking out of your head. Now, come on, get your hat, and let's go out and buy a drink.
No, no, wait, Sam. There's something I want to show you. A book I just got. Huh?
Well, while you're getting it, do you mind if I throw another piece of wood on this living entity of yours? It's getting chilly in here.
No, no, don't touch that fire. I want it just the way it is.
Arnie, there's something wrong with you.
No. No, I'm all right, Sam. Just because a man's curious about the ways of life, must you think there's something wrong with him? Look, Sam, look at this book.
Well, what is it?
It tells of a race of fire worshippers who lived in medieval times. People who believed that every flame held its own godlike being to be worshipped by us mortals.
I still want that drink.
In here is a prayer with which these fire worshippers called up the spirit of the flame. It's a beautiful prayer, Sam. Let me read it to you.
Wait a minute, Arnie. They did what with that prayer?
Conjured up the spirit of the flame so that they could see it and kneel before it and worship it.
You mean to say they'd recite some hocus pocus and have something in the flame pop out at them?
Yes. And if I knew just how to read this prayer to that fire in the fireplace, just what inflections to use, I would be able to see the spirit of the flame, Sam. If such a thing exists.
Yeah. Well, good thing you had, if such a thing exists. By George, I'd have put in a hurry call for a straitjacket. Come on, Arnie. This is getting a little too morbid for me. Let's get out of here and go places.
No, thanks, Sam. I'm not going out tonight.
Okay. Go right ahead. Sit here and stew in your metaphysical juice. But don't let anyone who isn't a friend of yours hear all that nonsense about flame spirits and fire worshippers. By golly, you'll find yourself in front of a lunacy commission. Well, here's my hat. What's my hurry? Good night. Arnie.
Yeah?
All this nonsense you were talking. You were just kidding me along, weren't you? After all, you're going to marry my sister, and I... Well, you know how it is. You didn't mean it, did you, Arnie?
No. No, Sam, of course not.
Good fella. Joke's a joke, huh? Well, good night, old boy. No, no, don't bother getting up. I know my way to the door by this time. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Sam.
Good night.
The kid and fool. Beautiful flame. Look, I wonder where... Oh, yes. And I humbly give unto thee this sacrifice. Sacrifice. Barbara's ring. I had it here. Oh, yeah. And I humbly give unto thee this sacrifice, great Ormuzd, and I beseech thee to reveal to me the life within life, the life within fire, as I repeat the sacred word, Ador. What? Ador. 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 You. Who are you? Who are you?
The flame.
Yes?
Arnie, what's the matter? It's Barbara.
Barbara,
honey, what is it? Aren't you going to let me in? Darling, are you ill?
You can't come in, Barbara. You've got to go away, please.
You are ill. Stand aside, Arnie.
No, please,
but I'm coming in and you can't stop
me. No, Barbara, go away. Please go away. You can't be here.
Arnie, what's the matter with you? What's going on here?
Nothing. I'll explain it to you sometime. Just go. Go, dearest.
Absolutely
please.
Not. There's something wrong here, and I'm not leaving until you tell me what it is. Arnie, your hands.
They're all right. Really, they are.
Bandages.
Burns. Just a few burns. They're all right.
I'm so cold in this room, and you're ill. I'll light the fire.
No, no. No fire. As you love me, no fire.
Arnie, darling, what's happened to
you? Mama, listen to me. If you love me, you'll go away. You'll get out of here and you'll never come back.
What?
You've got to listen to me. This that has happened to me is mine. My horror. Can't hurt you. I won't let it.
Too late, love. Too late.
Oh.
Arnie, what are you looking at?
She cannot see me. Only you can see me.
Arnie, the air is getting so warm in
Father,
here.
Go away quickly.
Too late. I touch her and she never looks upon you again.
Arnie, that horrible odor of burning. Oh, I'm frightened, Arnie.
You thing. What are you going to do?
Her eyes. I'm jealous of her eyes. I shall have them.
Arnie, who are you talking to?
Huh?
Who are you talking to?
I'll bargain with you, love. Do as I ask and I will let her live.
Yes. Yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. Anything.
Get her out of here. She
died. Barbara, come on.
Mama, no, Barbara, Arnie, I won't go. Darling, you're
hurting
my arm.
No, no, don't struggle. You must come.
I must go.
He said anything. Anything.
All right, Jim, it's your move.
Okay, Mac, I'll move when I'm good and ready.
Well, what's the use of sitting there staring at the checkers? You've lost anyway.
Oh, yeah? Well, now, what do you say to this, you old foghorn?
Oh, so you think you're smart, you. Well, now, watch this.
Well, for the love of...
So you thought you'd beat me, eh? Well, you'll have to be in the apartment a longer time to do that, me bucko.
How long have you been a fireman, Grogan?
Gone on 20 years.
Well, if this is all there is to it, it's sure a monotonous job. Why, we haven't had a run out of this station in 2 weeks.
Now, don't talk like that, Jim. It's bad luck.
Oh, what's bad luck about it? You think I joined the department to sit on my tail playing checkers and talking ball scores? I want to do things. I... What?
Shut up.
It's a goal.
It's a goal.
My wife, my kids are in that hotel. Let me go.
The block. The whole block's aflame.
Can't give me water.
Commissioner, we must do something.
Look, Mr. Mayor, what could I do? I've got every piece of fire apparatus within 100 miles of the city.
Well,
50 alarms in the last hour. I tell you, there's more than one maniac setting off fires. It's a dozen. It's 100 of them.
Yes, yes, it's a plot. That's what it is. A plot, a revolutionary plot. I'll call up the governor. We'll get the militia out. It's a plot.
Hurry.
Yes.
Sam, I'm so worried.
Don't get upset, sis. We'll be there soon.
What could have happened to him? Not a word since yesterday.
You know, I can't believe it yet. You're saying he threw you out of the house.
Oh, well, he didn't exactly throw me out, but he... Oh, Sam, what can be the matter?
You should have told me sooner.
Oh, I didn't want to. I mean, I didn't know what to think. Oh, Sam, what could possibly be wrong?
Don't ask me, Barb. There goes another fire engine.
Those terrible fires. It's as if the whole world were coming to an end.
It's going to be all right. I heard over the radio. The governor is sending the militia into town. That'll stop those firebugs.
Schools and hospitals and hotels.
Well, this is it.
Yes.
Now, Bob, wait for me.
All right, but hurry, Sam.
After what you told me, I think I'd better stay right with you.
Oh, my poor Arnie.
Careful, dear. Steps.
Oh, Sam, he's not home. There's not a light in the house.
Well, let's try anyway. Huh. Where's that blasted bell?
Oh, it was out of order when I was here. I had to knock.
Oh.
Wait, Sam.
What?
The door.
By George, it's open. Something is wrong in here.
Oh, Sam, I'm frightened.
Arnie? Arnie? Are you in there, Arnie?
Oh, he is, Sam. I know he is.
Why doesn't he answer? Arnie! It's Sam and Barbara. Arnie, are you home?
He's sick, Sam. Let's go in quickly.
No, no. You wait out here.
No, no. I'm going with you.
All right. It's so dark. I didn't got a match.
Oh, the light switch. I think it was somewhere along this wall.
I got it. Wow. Is this room a mess?
Oh, Sam, he must be sick. Arnie's always so neat. Quickly, the bedroom.
All right, all right. Don't get so excited.
But he might be dying.
Don't talk nonsense. I'll bet he isn't even here. There. What did I tell you? He isn't even home.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Walls.
Why, they're charred.
Sam, there's been a fire in here.
Oh, no. Well, that's impossible.
Oh, Arnie, Arnie, where are you? What's happened to you?
This is unbelievable. These walls were terribly burned. Come on, Bob.
Where?
We'll go to the police.
Sam.
What?
The burnt walls. Maybe the same people who are setting fires all over the city did something to Arnie.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. That's it. They started to set fire to this place, and Arnie caught them at it. And he tried to stop them, and...
No, I didn't want to. I tell you, I didn't.
Arnie.
Arnie. Where did you come from?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to. She made me. She did it.
Arnie, what's happened?
Good heavens, man. Where have you been? Your face, your clothes. Here, sit down.
No time. She's following me, I promise.
Arnie, what are you talking about? What's the matter with you?
No, Sam, let me. Arnie, lift your face. What is it? Who's following you?
Those children this morning screaming, trapped up there, no one to help them.
What?
That man, his wife, his children, he went back into that burning hell. He went back. He didn't have a chance. He went back. God in heaven, what have I done? What have I done?
Barbara, the fires. Arnie's been watching them. Gone to his mind.
Oh, my poor darling.
I'll get a doctor. He needs it.
She did it. Not I. They can't blame me. You, the dead kid. She killed you.
Arnie, in heaven's name, control yourself.
I did it. You hear me, Barbara?
What, Arnie?
I did it. All those fires, those people dying. I did
Arnie,
it.
Arnie, in heaven's name, what are you saying?
I did it, Sam. I did it. If not for me, she wouldn't have had life. She wouldn't have had power. It was through me. Through me, the fires got life. Me.
Arnie.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I did it. I. Look, these papers, plans, every building I burned, she made me do it. Every step of the way.
No.
Arnie.
You believe.
Why did you do it? Why did you do it?
Both of you, listen to me. There isn't much time. She'll be here. She'll keep...
Arnie,
what is it?
I'll do it. I'll do anything you say. I'll do it. Let them alone.
Arnie, come back here.
Sam, where's he going? Where's he running?
I don't know. It's as if someone was chasing him.
Sam, look. On the floor.
What?
Right where Arnie was standing.
Footprints. Burned right into the wood. Oh, Father in heaven. What is this? I tell you, Mr. Mayor, I'm telling the truth. Every word I've told you is the truth.
My dear young man, the story's preposterous. How about it, Commissioner? Could any one man be responsible for all these fires?
Absolutely not. A physical impossibility.
But I tell you, he's confessed. Arnie's my friend. He wouldn't lie to me. I tell you, the man was driven to it by some horrible thing.
What are you talking about?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. But believe this much. As sure as we're all in this room, Arnie Douglas had something to do with those terrible fires.
But you heard what the Commissioner said.
I don't care what the Commissioner said. While you're just sitting here, more fires are being started. More lives are in danger. In the name of humanity, please listen to me and send out a general alarm to have the police pick up Arnie Douglas. I'll give you his description. I'll tell you just what he was wearing.
You've got to catch him.
Diane is suspected of being the pyromaniac responsible for the fire terror. Repeat, general alarm. Be on the lookout for a man by the name of Arnie Douglas, height 5 feet 10, weight 175 pounds, light hair, blue eyes. When last seen, was wearing gray suit, white shirt, no tie, no hat. This man suspected of being the pyromaniac.
Please, Barbara, that won't help any.
Arnie, what will they do to him? Oh, tell me, Sam.
Nobody's blaming Arnie. It was some kind of madness, that's all.
Those horrible burning footprints.
No, no, don't talk about them. We never saw them. We just imagined it, that's all.
Where have they got Arnie? What are they doing to him?
He's in the mayor's office, the fire chief, and about a dozen others. They're questioning him. They don't believe that he himself could have set all those fires.
I want to see him. I want to talk to him. Oh, it's a horrible dream that never happened.
Wait.
The mayor wants to see in his office right away.
All right. Come on, dear.
All right.
Well, come right in, folks.
Mayor Halstead, where's Arnie? Where is he? What have you done with him?
Now, young woman, sit right here. Everything's going to be all right.
Mr. Mayor, what's happened? Where's Arnie Douglas?
Safe and sound, locked up in the next room.
What did he say? Why don't you tell us?
Oh, he confessed setting the fires all right. Didn't he, Commissioner? Oh.
Yeah, there's the signed confession. But if you ask me, he didn't mean a thing. Oh, a young fellow like that one never could or would set fire to as many places as burned down. I tell you, I don't believe he had a thing to do with it. It's somebody else. Somebody else.
You can't hear them talking in the other room, Arnie, my love. But I can. One of them is saying that he doesn't believe you did it, my love. But you did do it, didn't you?
Mercy. Have mercy.
Yes, my love. I will have mercy. Confessions. You signed confessions.
Yes.
They'll want to lock you away behind iron bars. Oh, but they'll never do that, my love.
Mm.
I'm taking you with me to be part of me. Always.
No. No.
Come close to me, beloved. No. Close.
No. Stay away from me. Stay away from me! Stay away!
What's that?
I don't know.
Arnie! It's Arnie!
Look. Look. Under that door. Smoke, Mother in Heaven. There's something burning in there.
That young fella. He's locked up in there.
Arnie!
Let me in. Let me in. The key. Quick. Here's the key. Good.
Quickly, Sam. Quickly, quickly.
There's no one in here. Only a flame. A little red flame.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. A favorite mystery-themed show that lasted for decades was Suspense, and we have a classic monster story from this high-quality show. The town in this story will only be safe if it can survive past Halloween. We hope it keeps you in suspense. The Dunwich Horror. First broadcast November 1st, 1945, on CBS.
Suspense. Mr. Ronald Coleman, a star of the Dunwich Horror. a suspense play produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Come in, Dunwich, Massachusetts. Come in, Dunwich.
Good evening. This is Henry Armitage. I'm speaking to you for... Dr. Rice, please close the window. I'm speaking to you from my laboratory on the slopes of Sentinel Hill near Dunwich, Massachusetts. Present with me is Dr. Warren Rice, my distinguished colleague from Miskatonic University. We are now about 100 yards from the summit of the hill, which is crowned by a huge table-like stone set in the center of a circle of stone pillars, a place of prehistoric worship. A moment ago, you may have heard the dogs of Tunwich Township barking, as we have heard them for 3 days and three nights. Dr. Rice and I know the horror which their barking portends, but the purpose of this broadcast is to make this unbelievable horror believable to you. I hope for your sakes and ours we are successful tonight. It is the eve of All Hallows. Tomorrow will be too late. Our time tonight is very short, so I'll speak only of those more recent events which, believe me, may culminate at any moment in a climax too frightful to wholly contemplate. I will begin with the birth of Wilbur Whately. It was the night of February the 2nd, 1921, Candlemas, toward dawn, when Lavinia Whately, a deformed albino woman about 35 years old, gave birth to her dark, goatish-looking son in the crumbling Whately farmhouse northeast of the village. No one attended her. No doctor or midwife. No one was with her, except her aged, half-insane father, who was known as Wizard Whately. So Wilbur came into this world under heaven knows what incantations, what appeals to what power. A week later, Wizard Whately drove his sleigh into Dunwich Village and reported the event to a group of loungers in Osborne's general store.
Hey, your grandson got yellow hair like Lavinia Wizard?
No, takes after his father more. He's dark, dark.
You never spoke of who his father might be now, did you?
Oh, you know his father when the time comes. Oh, Lavinia's read and seen some things the most of you only talk about. Calculate her husband's as good as you can find this side of Aylesbury.
Well, we don't be nosy, was it?
Maybe it warn't in no church that none of you heard of. But you wouldn't ask no better church wedding than Lavinia's.
Well, I didn't hear tell of no wedding, wizard. When was that?
Oh, not a wedding you'd hear of, Corey. Not a husband you'd hear of, neither. But let me tell you something. Someday you folks will hear a child of Lavinia's calling its father's name on top of Sentinel Hill.
Prophecy? Or idle boasting by an insane old man? Oh, I know I ask a great deal when I ask you to believe that the arrival of an infant into that house of dire poverty and squalor could possibly constitute a horror and a threat to all our known world. Yet it has an earthly history. Perhaps through this history, you will be able to give it credence. Wilbur Whately's growth was uncanny. But even if he had been an average child, he would have become, in time, an unnatural being, for he was surrounded from the first by the most malign influences. There was his grandfather, old Whately, Wizard Whately, who each Halloween climbed Sentinel Hill to the great circle of stone, and while the hills shook, stood holding a great book open on his arms and shrieked into the wind. Shrieked!
Yorick! Jumper! Yorick! Jumper!
Yog-Sothoth. That dreadful name, first mentioned in the hideous forbidden book, the Necronomicon. And this wizard Whately was Wilbur's teacher. The villagers began to notice curious things that were going on at the Whately farmhouse. Soon after Wilbur was born, old Whately began to remodel the house. The abandoned upper story was restored, and all the windows were tightly boarded up. And then, Wizard began to buy cattle in large numbers, both horses and cows. Yet the livestock on the farm didn't seem to increase. Young Lem Brown was one day curious enough to creep close to the house to count the Whately herd.
Dr. Armitage, there weren't more than 12 cows, and them sick. Looked like they had the blight and funny wounds on them, like cuts. I heard something, too, in the top part of Wizard's house. Something like water slapping inside, only big, big like a sea.
One other person went to the Whately farm in the years before I met Wilbur, Dr. Ken Houghton of Aylesbury, who was called by Wilbur himself, who said that his grandfather was dying. Dr. Houghton found the old man in a bedroom on the ground floor, and Wilbur with him. While outside the window, a legion of whippoorwills cried loudly and rhythmically, endlessly. Wilbur spoke about the sound.
Whistling time with his breathing now. They're ready. Listen, doctor. They know his soul's going out. They're waiting.
Yes, Wilbur, that's an interesting superstition. Late in the year for them, too.
And when he goes, if they catch him, they'll keep laughing till break of day. If they don't catch him, they'll quiet down.
You mean you believe that... In just a minute. I think he's conscious.
Yes, the birds changed when his breathing changed. Like
Willie,
I say...
Willie! Willie!
I'm here.
More space, Willie. Remember, more space soon.
Yes, I'll build it.
You grows... But that grows faster. It'll be ready to serve you soon, Willie.
I know.
But remember, when it's time, you open up the gates to Yog-Sothoth with a long chant. The one on page 751 of the book. But mind you, feed it enough. Because if it gets out before you open to Yog-Sothoth, it's all over. It's no use.
He's going now. He's dead, Wilbur.
Listen. The birds. They didn't get him. Yes, he's free. He's gone.
It was the winter following Wizard Whately's death that I first met Wilbur. He came in person to the library at Miskatonic University to consult a copy of the hideous Necronomicon, which was kept there in its Latin version, as printed in Spain in the 17th century. I tell you, when he came into my office, I was appalled at his appearance. 8 feet tall, shabby, dirty, bearded. But I was even more appalled by his voice when he spoke to me.
I wrote you a letter a month past, Doctor. I wanted a loan of the book.
Well, that's a book that's never loaned from this library. I doubt if it is from any library.
Well, I have to see it, then.
Oh, very well, it's kept right here. As you know, there are only 3 copies of this book in existence. That's why we're careful. Here, you can look at it on this table.
Wizard said it would be on page 751.
What? What is it you're looking for?
The formula, the long chant, the one that opens the gate to Yog-Sothoth.
I felt a wave of fright as tangible as a draught from the tomb. It seemed, somehow, like the spawn of another dimension, like something only partly of mankind, linked to black gulfs beyond all spheres of force and matter, space and time. And presently he raised his head and spoke again.
It's here, all right, but I'll have to have a copy.
That paragraph there? I don't know.
Do you know Latin, Doctor?
Yes, certainly.
Then read it, Doctor. Let's hear how you make it out.
All right, that shouldn't be difficult. Let's see. Nor is it to be thought that man is the oldest or the last of Earth's masters. The old ones were, and the old ones shall be. Not in the spaces that we know, but between them. But only Yog-Sothoth knows the gate. Yog-Sothoth is the gate to where the old ones broke through of old. Their hands are at your throat. Yet ye see them not.
Dr. Armitage, you see, I reckon I've got to take that book home. There's things in it I've got to try, and you can't hold me up.
No, I'm sorry.
I tell you, Doctor, I'll have the book sooner or later, no matter what. You see, it, that's waiting for me at home, won't wait much longer.
It was a week later that I was awakened suddenly by the fierce yelping of the great watchdog on the campus, followed by a sound from a wholly different throat, a scream. And I knew instantly that Wilbur had come back for the Necronomicon. I hastened into my clothes and rushed across to the library where a crowd had gathered before the smashed window of my office. Inside, there was a fearful groaning and growling, and some instinct warned me that what was taking place there was not for unfortified eyes to see. I brushed back the crowd, motioning only to Professor Rice to come in with me. When we opened the study door, Professor Rice screamed.
No, Dr. Armitage, no, I can't.
Come, close the door. Can't let them see. She's alive, but Lord, what a job that dog's done. Torn him to bits. That's a horrible sound, that moaning. Suppose we ought to call a doctor?
A doctor? A doctor for that? No doctor in the world would know what to do for that. Look, Armitage, it's not human, nor animal. Where did it come from? Can you tell me? Can you tell me what it is?
No, I couldn't tell what Wilbur Whately was. A thing that lay half bent on its side in a pool of greenish-yellow stickiness was 9 feet tall. And the dog had torn off all the clothing and some of the skin. It was partly human, beyond a doubt, with very man-like hands and head, but the torso and lower parts of the body were fabulous. Its chest had the leathery hide of a crocodile or alligator. But below the waistline, the skin was covered with coarse black fur. And from the abdomen, long greenish-gray tentacles. the limbs terminated in ridgy veined pads that were neither hooves nor claws. And as Dr. Rice and I stood staring at this presence, the whippoorwills began to cry in unison outside the study window. And then the thing on the floor roused and mumbled.
God. 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 God.
Heaven's name.
The whippoorwills. Listen. Yes, he's dead now. Look. Look, Christ. Look what's happening.
He's disintegrating.
Of course. Fast, too. Fading away. Because he isn't made of matter as we know it on Earth. I guess he took after his father. So there'll be nothing left.
His father? What was his father?
I daren't think. I thought then that what came into our world with Wilbur Whately left with him. I forgot what he himself had told me of it, which was waiting in the sealed house Wizard Whately had built, where the cattle were driven to disappear. But Wilbur Whately left a diary, written in a strange alphabet resembling Sanskrit, and I worked off and on for weeks to decipher it. And finally, I read the following passage written by Wilbur when he was no more than 8 years old.
That upstairs is more ahead of me than I had thought it would be. It is not like to have much earth brain. I can see it a little when I make the sign or blow the powder of Ivangatsi at it. And it is like them I see Halloween on the hill. I wonder how I shall look when the earth is cleared and there are no earth beings. Maybe like that upstairs looks, which has no body, even fed with all the blood.
Toward morning, in a cold sweat of terror, I called Dr. Rice to my house and told him, we have to destroy what's in that farmhouse.
Why can't we just leave the thing locked up there? The house is boarded tight.
Yes, but you think boards will hold it? Don't you realize, man, it hasn't been fed? It hasn't had blood since the 18th of September, when Wilbur Whately came here to die. We left for Dunwich that night, and we've been here on Sentinel Hill ever since, working desperately to discover the formula in time. But a week ago tonight, shortly after dawn... Yeah, hello?
Dr. Armitage, this is Lem Brown. I was just up beyond the glen, Doctor, looking for cows I lost last night.
Yes, Lem?
Well, Doctor, something's been there. Smells like thunder, and there's prints in the road. Great round prints, big as barrel heads, like a elephant has been along.
Anything else, Lem?
That's all I see. Except bushes and trees pushed back from the road like a house was drug along.
Oh. Did you hear anything?
Yes. Long toward morning, I heard a sound over toward Whately's place. A kind of ripping or tearing of wood like a big box was being opened up. Kenzie, you heard it too.
Lem, who lives nearest the Whately farm?
Why, that'd be Elmer Price's place.
Oh, he's on this line too, isn't he? Hang on and I'll ring him.
Yes, Dr. Armitage, this is Central.
I'm trying to get Elmer Fry, Central.
Doctor, he must be out somewheres, and his whole family. I was ringing there an hour ago. Earl Sawyer saw Elmer's cows stampeding in Cold Spring Glen.
Oh, you didn't get him. All right. But if you hear or see anything more, let me know. I'll be here working all day. Rice. Rice. Oh, wake up. It's loose. It's out of the house. One family gone already. We have to work. Pray God we find that formula in time. A week since it broke loose. A week of terror and panic here in Dunwich Township. Each night it moves about the countryside, leaving the trees crushed in a 30-foot swathe, as though by a moving mountain, leaving its monstrous tracks and a trail of tarry stickiness, leaving crushed and gutted farmhouses and whole herds of cattle drained of blood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the story to this moment. And tonight is Halloween. Tonight we are here to... Just one moment, please. Dr. Rice, did you hear something?
No, with the window closed, no.
Well, throw it open. I thought so. Listen. A sound from a thousand bending trees. A sound like the sea moving across a forest. Yes. Yes, it's coming here. Of course. All Hallows, it comes to Sentinel Hill. Dr. Rice, I'll try the formula and the powder from the altar stone. I want you to stay here at the microphone and report what you see.
Very well, Dr. Armitage.
Oh, wait a minute before I go. To any scientists who may be listening to me, if I fail, there is a possible alternative formula in Falconer's Mystical Formulae of the Middle Ages on page 24. Well, there are the whippoorwills. I'd better get out there. Take over, Dr. Rice.
Yes. I'll do as well as I can, Armitage. Good luck. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Armitage is climbing to the top of the hill, to the altar stone. I can see him plainly, for the moon is high and the night clear. Down the hill, toward the dark village, I can see the grasses and shrubbery bending down, marking the monster's ascent. It moves quite fast, and I feel a proximity to phases of being utterly forbidden. Now, Dr. Armitage stands now on the altar stone and is holding the powder which, if the books are correct, will make this thing for an instant visible. It is quite close to him now, perhaps 20 yards or less. He lifts his hands, he brings the powder in a wide arc, and can see... Oh, no! No!
Dr. Rice, come in, Dunwich. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your suspense announcer. Due to conditions... Oh, just a moment, please. One moment, please. Dr. Rice, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. For a moment, I was overcome when I saw... Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you can hear now the incantation of Dr. Armitage. Listen. Dr. Armitage is walking back here now. So we know that whatever it was, it is gone. It is dead. So we can be thankful indeed. You see, I saw Dr. Armitage.
Yes. Did you see it, Dr. Rice?
I saw it, Lord, yes.
What did it look like to you?
It looked here. Like something made of squirming ropes, but bigger than a barn and shaped... Well, like an egg.
and dozens of legs, like barrels that half closed when it stepped, and nothing solid about it, and at least 15 or 20 mouths or trunks opening and closing, but what was it?
Oh, a kind of force that doesn't belong in our part of space. Did you notice the half face on top?
Half face, like a human face.
Yes, very large, but yes, quite human, and quite like Wilbur's, like all the weightless.
Then it was.
That's right. It was Wilbur's twin brother, and you saw what 3 weeks' growth had done. And it was the child of Lavinia's who called its father's name on Sentinel Hill, as Wizard Waitley prophesied. You heard it calling, Yog-Sotho. Ladies and gentlemen, this night is over. It is All Saints' Day. May heaven bless us all.
Dunnage Horror, with Ronald Coleman as your star of Suspense.
Here's another bonus track to scare yourself with monsters and mayhem, Arch Obler's Chicken Heart, from Drop Dead, his LP of radio scripts.
No short hairs rising? Then permit me to try you with the science fiction type. With all these Sputniks and satellites circling our Earth, and with all this competitive fission and fusion going on, science fiction horror is the very latest. And we are trying to bring you the very latest. Do you remember some time ago, in an Eastern scientific institution, they kept a piece of heart alive for weeks on end? Well, I got to thinking, what if that heart began to grow? And grow, and grow, and grow...
Hello, operator. Give me Mr. Regan, fast. Hello, Mr. Regan, this is Lewis. Listen, get me a rewrite, man. The thing's still growing. No, Chief, I tell you the truth. The corridor's choked with living, crawling flesh. No, I'm not drunk. I'm telling you the truth. That little piece of flesh has grown until now. It's jamming that building. All inside the space of an hour. You've got to believe me. It's the greatest news story of the generation, and here you argue with me. I tell you, it's the truth. You've got to believe.
You must believe me. I tell you, the only hope is to burn the building to the ground at once.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute.
Take it easy. I tell you, burn it to the ground. Burn.
And I tell you, take it easy. I sent in a call.
Oh, don't you understand? For some reason, I cannot even imagine. This tissue is doubling in size every hour. Do you know what that means? In another hour, it will be twice the size it is now. And long before that, it will break open the building with the force of its pressure. And then it will be free in the street. Do you hear me? Free in the streets. And then those tentacles of protoplasm stretching out to feed on anything they can reach. What's happening? The building! See the walls! Crashing! I warned you!
Is free.
Gentlemen, come to order, please. Gentlemen, please. Quiet, please now. As mayor, no one realizes more than I do the necessity of immediate action in curbing this unspeakable, unbelievable emergency. Can I assure you
that I... the speeches, Mac. That bastard thing is spreading like a forest fire. Call the governor. Get the National Guard out.
Wait, please. Here is Dr. Albert of the Research Institute. Let him speak. Step up here, doctor.
Got to do something.
Let's see what he says.
Gentlemen, it was in my institute this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, doctor? Tell us first what that monster really is.
Yes, I will tell you. That great, ever-growing mass of flesh, it is, or it was, a chicken heart.
Chicken heart? Are you crazy, man?
Chicken heart!
Yes, yes, chicken heart, I tell you. Chicken heart! Listen to me, you fools! Yes, 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 yes.
Nobody up there knows what he's talking about.
I tell you, that mass of flesh was a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With every passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? If it is now one block in size, within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to one square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this whole city will be crushed under that moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it will have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say, call out the entire army. Blast this thing off the earth.
All ready, Chief? Pumpers are ready, all the hoses coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right, here's the signal.
Open them up! Full blast! Chief, look out! That flash is freaking out!
Get back, everybody! Everybody, back!
The fools, what good is water? I told them. The only hope is artillery. Bombs.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. General mobilization order.
Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0.
Commence firing! Fire!
Useless. It has grown too large, and it grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Alberts?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Lewis. I'm all right.
Well, I sure am glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could, another 10 minutes, and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it is, was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes. Yes, I saw.
5,000 feet. Well, we'll cruise around up here for a few minutes and then head west.
It will do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime. It must.
Look at it down there. A gray blanket of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them. See.
Stop it! Stop talking like that. We'll get away. The government, they'll send bombing planes, poison gas.
No hope. Listen to me, Lewis. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy of the end of the earth? You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Cessation of earth rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theories. But now, this is reality, Lewis. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion. Not in the glory of interstellar combustion. Not in the peace of white, cold silence. But with that creeping, grasping flesh below us. It is a joke, hey, Lewis. A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of mankind.
Why?
Because of a chicken's heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor, it's cut out. We're in a spin. I can't get out of it.
I told you. Doomed.
No. No.
All mankind. Doomed.
No. We're falling right into it. Into the heart.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.